Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I bring up frequently how there's a difference between government and society. That is to say that government is one entity, and it has one way of doing things, and that's by use of force or threats of violence. And then there's society, which is, a lot of folks think, is government. Government is not society. Government is a separate thing. Society exists independently of government. And to illustrate this every now and again, there's something in the news that really just sort of brings it home. And so I wanted to tell you about this article from Texas. It's from KSAT.com. The headline reads, Texas brothers beat stepfather to death for sexually abusing their sister, reports say. The brother's friend is also charged in Hidalgo County. The two brothers are in jail in Hidalgo County, accused of beating their stepfather to death for sexually abusing their 9-year-old sister. Alejandro Trevino, 18, Christian Trevino, 17, along with family friend Juan Eduardo Melendez, 18, are accused of beating 42-year-old Gabriel Quintanilla and leaving him to die in a field. Quintanilla is Alejandro and Christian's stepfather, and the two brothers have different fathers. They are both half-siblings of the 9-year-old girl who was allegedly assaulted, according to my RGV. Quintanilla had a warrant, this is the stepfather, Quintanilla, he had a warrant for continuous sexual abuse of a child and assault family violence at the time of his death, according to police. That's about the extent of the article. So, in this instance, is this society acting independently of government? You know, some people will say immediately, you know, knee-jerk reaction, well, this is what they call street justice. Anybody who's probably, been in jail for any extent of time would recognize that even in jail, child molesters, child abusers are considered the lowest class of inmate and are often targeted by those in jail for being a child molester. So what separates this type of action, some would say in defense of the 9-year-old sister who is unable to defend herself from the stepfather, what separates this type of action from, say, going through the courts and prosecuting? If somebody could wave the magic wand and make government disappear, the organization, that society would still have rules, right? They just wouldn't have some guy in a chair telling everybody his opinion of how you should live your life. Instead, it would be up to society to figure these things out on its own, whether that's by people providing goods and services and selling them for, you know, a fee, whether that's, unique situations, charitable situations where people contribute a certain amount of money and then services are provided in a charitable fashion. There's all sorts of methods for doing this, so I would like your opinions. But I also, I do want to talk about, you know, Breaker 1-9 for the rubber duck for just a minute. Anybody who's old enough to have watched a movie in 1978, or even later, I guess, the movie came out in 78. It's the famous line from the song, the theme song, and also from the movie itself, Convoy. And if you're paying attention to your social medias at all, Convoy is going on in Ontario, Canada. So I don't have any official numbers as far as how many trucks and how many people. I've heard as many as 50,000 trucks. Now, that could be just, you know, that could be fluff. You know, I don't know. I know that there was a Facebook page put up for these guys, and Facebook took it down, so they had to start another one. That apparently still exists. I know they started a GoFundMe, and in fact, this article talks about it a little bit. It says a GoFundMe organized for the event has already passed $7 million in donations. Organizers explained the event's purpose on the GoFundMe page. To our fellow Canadians, the time for political overreach is over. Our current government is implementing rules and mandates that are destroying the foundation of our businesses, industries, and livelihoods. Canadians have been integral to the fabric of humanity in many ways that have shaped the planet. We're taking our fight to the doorsteps of our federal government and demanding that they cease all mandates against its people. Small businesses are being destroyed, homes are being destroyed, and people are being mistreated and denied fundamental necessities to survive. It's our duty as Canadians to put an end to these mandates. We are asking for donations to help with the cost, yada, yada, yada. So this goes to pay fuel and lodging and all that stuff for these truckers.
Here's what I think is really brilliant about this. So I figure that somewhere there are people making very specific calculations about people will put up with X amount of authoritarianism as long as they're getting Y.
With regard to these two, you know, court of public opinion is an ugly thing. These two have intimate knowledge that none of us out here does have. All we have is the story that we've gotten in the press. But that being said, if their 9-year-old stepsister was being abused by her father, that's the kind of thing. Sexual abuse of a child is just, I'm sorry, but that's exceptionally heinous, in my opinion.
No doubt.
The kind of thing that destroys a soul. And I have people extremely close to me who have suffered from that, and thank God they've survived and come out as rational human beings. But, I mean, there's a certain amount of frontier justice with this that, you know, I'm sorry, but our court systems fail to address and fail to deal with. You know, the law says everybody's entitled to a timely trial. I think the victims are just as entitled to that trial of the accused as the accused is of being tried.
Yeah.
And this stuff, for these things to get dragged out for years because of the backlog, I think is just, I don't know what the solution is. I can't.
Well, and the thing about that backlog is it's the lawyers that get paid to do the trials that are deciding what gets to be tried.
You can get justice if you can afford it.
It's possible if you can afford it and you want it.
Right.
I mean, the fact is that the people that can afford it tend not to want it when it comes to them. Yeah. Well, and I have two big problems with this situation. Number one, we didn't get to have a trial where we get to say, okay, for sure, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And number two, what's with the breaks between these beatings?
Yeah, I sort of get the first one, right, where they talk about how it was brother one and his friend, the third person involved in this thing, the driver apparently or something along those lines. He's not being accused of murder for whatever reason. So it's brother number one and this kid. So maybe they found out. They're like, oh, stepfather's abusing, you know, whatever the girl, they haven't released her name, obviously, in this article. Stepfather's abusing our 9-year-old sister. Let's go kick some ass, right? And so they get together and they go and they find the guy and they beat him. And so now they're 18, right? So they're young. They're like, they're filled with adrenaline now. And like, they're having all these emotions that, you know, when you beat somebody, you know. You've got adrenaline, you know, and all sorts of emotions. And so you go and you find brother number two and you're like, dude, we just found out that, you know, stepdad was, you know, doing things to our 9-year-old sister. And we went and we beat him up. Where does this type of action, assuming that everything here in this article is true, assuming that this stepfather did sexually abuse this 9-year-old girl, assuming that these two brothers and their friend beat this guy to death for that reason, where does this fall under the non-aggression principle?
So remember, it's the non-aggression, not non-violence principle. So self-defense is not only is not only allowed, but pretty much required at some point. And in this case, since the 9-year-old is obviously not able to defend herself, a third party can step in and defend her or do whatever is necessary to avoid any further aggression on this 9-year-old girl.
Right. It would be like, for our listeners who might not be familiar, it would be like you protecting your family on the old homestead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the gun and your family's behind you and, you know, the terrible bad man is coming to your property and you're defending them, right? Mm-hmm. Third party.
There are a couple of twists in this one. The first one being like, there are circumstances where someone can refuse a third party self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Her being 9, not really an option.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Our fascist empire is much larger than the Nazi empire ever thought about being. It has killed more. It has more prisoners. That's for sure. It has more prisoners than even the gulags had. You know, so, and that's current, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's not just historical. Currently, the United States has more prisoners than any other empire in all of history.
Yeah, last I checked, we have more prisoners than the next few combined.
Yeah.
So.
Not even a question.
Yeah. I mean.
But if there is such a thing as public education, right? If society decides, independent of government, that society is sort of responsible for educating people, well, then they're failing, because at least for this particular guy, because we know that pedophilia is wrong. Examine cultures around the globe. I don't think you can find one where they're like, no, it's fine. I'm pretty sure that doesn't exist.
I was calling about the street justice scenario.
The kids in Texas and the stepfather. Go ahead.
That's where I'm from.
What do you think?
Let's just say I worked for a sheriff's office here years ago, and when they would bring people up there that had been accused of such crimes, and usually they were things like, I can't even repeat, you know, over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really too nice to them, or wanted to be too nice to them. Usually we couldn't do what we wanted to do, you know, to people like that.
Right.
So I would think most law enforcement probably doesn't get to do what they want to do in those situations.
Were or are you in law enforcement currently?
No, no.
Okay.
Now this has been years ago when I was a younger man and a little hot-headed, I guess, and before I joined the military, but
I'm just curious of like what do you think a law enforcement officer would do in this situation?
Well,
you know,
well, I mean, even 40 or 50 years ago, they would take people that were accused of abuse, you know, of any nature, really, out, I guess, behind the woodshed, they would call it.
Assuming this story is true, and you were 18, you found yourself in their position, you were 18 and your 9-year-old sister was the victim here. Would you take the same action as these teens?
Now, this is the reason I called in. I have some immediate family that something happened to, and it was actually some other kids that were being molested by somebody that were adults, and they did something to them, and I didn't find out about it till later. And back when I was younger, as a teenager, you know, growing up, I had guns and you know, I was taught how to do things with guns. That, like, I had guns by the time I was 10, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I had my own firearms or whatever I wanted, so nobody bothered me because they knew I was a responsible kid, basically. But I found out about this later, and I was glad I did, and my parents knew, you know, they basically knew. Like, they had told me what happened to my, I won't say, that I would have went and done something about it.
Yeah.
And not felt bad about it at all, you know.
But you didn't do that, and you let assumably you let the situation play out. Did the system?
We actually moved out of state. Like, we moved from across the country to another state.
And notice that there isn't within this system, this government, if you will, this organization of violence, that there isn't a mechanism to remove laws.
Yeah, that has always stuck in my craw. Even, since my teenage years, it has always bothered me that there isn't something that's like, okay, every X amount of years or whatever it is, we have to at least take a look at this and either vote it back in or not. And if we don't vote it back in, it goes away.
Yeah, even the best software systems have some sort of a purge function to get rid of, like, temporary files and stuff that they no longer need in the functioning of whatever it is that it's doing in the newest version, et cetera, and so on.
And I think that gives the game away. This isn't designed to function as we're taught that this is designed to function.
What?
This isn't here to give us justice. And as you're fond of pointing out, if you want to see what a system's designed for, see what it's doing, and then check and see if that's what it was designed to do.
Right. Right. Because you can always measure a system's efficiency by its output. What does it accomplish? What is its output? And if its output is murder, injustice, theft, then you can only go back and look at the designers and go, hey, WTF.
I think it's funny that Neil Young thought that Spotify was going to cancel a $100 million contract for his music.
For Joe Rogan, yeah. I do want to say, yeah. Other hosts have covered the Neil Young thing. I just want to say, Neil Young, you can kiss my ass.
Exactly.
I think it is double funny.
Hang on, Stephen. Go ahead, Pickles.
I just think it is double funny that he actually doesn't have the rights to those songs anymore, but Spotify went ahead and took them off anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently his parent company, Warner Brothers, wanted it removed because of him or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so with all of her misgivings and all the crap that she's messed up, what is your thoughts on Kamala Harris being nominated for the Supreme Court justice position?
Oh, that actually happened?
Oh, I didn't know that it was...
I heard people talking about that, but I...
No. I don't know if it's happened yet or not. I'm just saying, what if it does? Oh. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the burrito Supreme Court should be abolished, along with the rest of government. But within the context of what you're asking, I don't know. I mean, is it really going to matter?
Even more of a crap show?
Probably. I mean, my guess is things are going to get a lot worse before they get better.
If you were being paid $20,000 a month to make rules, what would you do? We're talking about Congress here.
Well,
each one of them are paid like $20,000 a month to make rules. Anyway,
that's not what they get paid.
Also, that's not really what they do.
Yeah,
other people write them for them.
If you are in Congress, here's how it actually works. You do favors for powerful corporations. Then,
okay, that's
usually
true.
After you're done being a congressman, you get speaking fees and book deals and all of these other, where did this enormous amount of money come
perhaps
from?
Perhaps even hired by said company.
Oh, yeah. And all of your family members. Oh, gee, where did Hunter Biden get all those skills in running an energy company?
Okay. We got it. That's true. But I'd like to keep on the bogus nature of human authority, if you don't mind. But I would like to say something about biblically, in the Old Covenant, it was up into the nearest of kin to exact or to mete out the punishment.
There are two definitions of authority. One of them is, you know, the officials, right? The state, the elected people, the police, right? That type of authority. But then there's
coercive authority.
Coercive authority. And then there's also expertise authority. That is to say, if I want to become a really good audio engineer, which I'm obviously not based on my inability to get sound to the board from my browser, I would find somebody who's really good at that. And I would consider them
competence, if you will.
A demonstrated competence. And I would look to them as an authority, an expert on that subject, a mentor, if you will, to, you know, so there are two definitions of authority. And I just want to make sure that folks are aware of this, because sometimes when somebody says they're an authority, it doesn't mean that they're armed with a badge and that kind of a thing. It just means that they're an expert.
Well, and this is two very different kinds of things. So, like, I mean, sure, you can screw it up by being, I'm the authority on who gets to be a doctor, and do that coercively, versus someone who's just actually good at, you know, keeping people healthy.
We got ourselves a convoy.
A great big convoy?
A great big convoy. Come on and join our convoy. So, yeah. So that's the good kind of authority, right? When you can go and consult somebody that's an expert in their field or in their particular thing, their item of specialty, their item of expertise, and you go, wow, hey, that's the good kind of authority.
And that's where you can demonstrate that you have the authority, because you can prove, hey, I know how to do this.
Yes.
Like, you consulted someone who knew how to do that. Whereas the idea that there's some authority on space is just absurd.
Well, there would be, you know, this phrase gets thrown around in intellectual circles. The foremost authority.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's probably a guy who's more knowledgeable about space than most of the other humans on planet Earth. There's probably a handful, let's say, of these people, right? One of them, you could say, is the foremost authority. If you put them all in the room and they all decided, well, okay, Jan is a little smarter than everybody else, right? Jan might be considered the foremost authority on space.
How do you get COVID? How do you spread COVID from inside the cab of a truck, sir?
Well,
can you answer me that question, my friend?
I cannot.
With the power of imagination.
This is ridiculous. These people are anti-science. They're a bunch of projectionists. Everything that they do, they say that we're doing. They're doing it the whole entire time. They're a bunch of psychopaths. They have taken over, and we need to do something to knock these people off their pedestals before it's too late.
All right,
they're coming for your guns, man.
So
that's going to start up again. You better believe that, buddy.
So let me ask you, John. All these truckers are having a convoy. They're headed to Ottawa. They're going to show up in Ottawa. And then what?
It just draws attention to their point, man. The point is, we don't want your vaccine. We know it's poison. How else can we do anything? They don't let you get on the mainstream news channels and voice your opinion. They don't want you to say what you want to say and speak your mind anymore online either, and on the internet. They're going to start shutting and suppressing that. You better believe it, man. You guys are lucky you're still on the radio.
Let's be clear. This trucker thing is a protest against the mandates.
New Mexico, an I-40 like a Texas lizard on glass. 1,000
Texas lizard on glass. Oh, that's right. They had the when they talk about the cops, they call them bears.
I have actually never heard the song. I have only heard the chorus.
Oh, well. What do we say? A Texas lizard on glass? Is that?
I haven't. That can't be a phrase.
We trucked all day and we trucked all night. Big Benny had proven our style. We could tell by the smell we was heading for hell, and the devil was Dirty Lyle. Cause we are big, big convoy, rocking through the night. Yeah, we are big, big convoy, it's your miracle sight. Come on, join our convoy, ain't nothing but a good convoy. Convoy is coming, convoy, across the USA.
Hey, it's not the USA in this case.
Well, there are truckers going across the USA into Canada to join this convoy.
Hmm.
So, yes, this song totally doesn't apply to the Canadian convoy, lyrically, at least from the lyrics we've just heard here.
Now, I wonder if the lizard there referenced was a lot lizard.
That is a good question. I was mentioning the bear in the air. That's a helicopter cop.
The fact that they printed off so much money is a big part of why there are a lot of supply shortages.
Yeah, the last time Mark Edge was here in studio, we talked about how around 50% of the United States money, the USD, had been created, printed out of thin air in the last 2 years. I have another article where they source that it's closer to 80% than it is to 50%. 80% of the United States dollars have been created in the last couple of years.
Wow.
And that is insane.
You know, it matches a lot of the information I've been looking up. I mean, like, I've been doing some digging. Like, I looked into, like, what in the heck is on the Fed's, like, what stuff it owns in order to keep everything afloat. And, yeah. Like, oh, my God. It is, like, we never recovered from 2008.
Oh, no, not
like,
at all.
Like, I thought we did. No. I was mistaken completely. And it's a really simple thought experiment. Like, okay, government prints off a bunch of money. Now, some people get that money first.
Yes.
What are they going to do with it? They're going to buy stuff with it.
Right.
So those prices haven't gotten a chance to go up yet.
Not one, not two, but 30 state troopers fired for cheating on an exam to become cops. We've been talking a little bit about authority here. I always like to point out that coercive authority generally attracts those who are least scrupulous.
Well,
or at least, you know, folks who might lean unethically or perhaps act immorally. The system itself almost doesn't allow even the most noble of person to join it and act morally and ethically.
That is definitely a fact. I mean, it is the one place where you can reliably forever get away with crimes.
So dozens of cops in Georgia are tarnishing the badge once more after they were all fired this week, according to reports. 30 troopers with the Georgia State Patrol are now unemployed because they were found to have cheated on the test to become cops. Hardly an isolated incident. Colonel Mark McDonough, commissioner of the Department of Public Safety and head of the Georgia State Police, said the entire class of students with the 106th Trooper School is no longer after they cheated during an online test for speed detection in October of 2019.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.